Yeah, today's daf is daf 10 Vav. And last year we started Halacha Bet, which is a Mishnah. We were talking about the fact that when you do a Kinyan, yes, even though the actual Kinyan is completed, this is at this stage, this is what we're saying, when you actually take the chefetz towards you. But if you pay the money, it's technically not so. However, Chachamim said if you chozer at that stage, there's a Mishapara. There's a curse of Chaim applying someone who goes back on the deal. Okay? Well, at that point. However, Rabbi Shimon says, well, it really depends. In other words, if the money is in the hands of the shopkeeper and the product is in the shop hands of the shopkeeper, then he can go back. Sounds like the shopkeeper can always go back. Well, not necessarily. We'll get to that. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. So Gemara says, "Keta mashachem eno perot." So Gemara says, "Amru Amar Rav Acha, k'tiv ki mala aretz chamas mipneihem." This is referring to the Dor HaMabul. The whole land was filled with chamas. We understand as some sort of violence, usually translated, but we understand from Chazal that it's talking about some sort of robbery. The question is, what was their chamsan? What typified this chamas of theirs? Now, this is fascinating. It says, "Havi bar nash nafik tain kupa melea tumasin." So a person could be walking around carrying all these tumasim are like lupines, I think they are. Whatever they are, we know what tumasim are. I don't have to translate tumasim. They grow here in Beit Shemesh. And vayumit kavnim venotlim batchot mishaver pruta. So what did people do? If people went along and took one from the basket, it's not even shaver pruta. So therefore, the guy can get him a beit, and a beit can mechayiv him to pay back. It's less than a shaver pruta. But what would happen? Enough people would do it that all aligned up in this way, and the guy ends up losing all his stock. So it was a, if you like, robbery with chokhmah. So let's talk about it that way, and because the Vashem it's a bedayin in it. Well, not yafeh, but that's what they did. So Amar Rav Chiya Barva Rabba. It says, Rabba, Rabba, Kamasa Elu, Kach Masa Elu. So let me just go back a step before I bring Masa Elu, Masa Elu, because that's trying to learn it also from the Anshei Sdom. But the Maharal just says, Ketav HaMafarish, Demayir Lahach, why even mention this now? Kedei Latam Lama Tanan Misha Paramidora Mabur. Because it's trying to explain in the Mishnah why this concept of the curse is associated with he who punished those of the generation of the flood. Ella, what? Ma doramabul chatu b'davar she'ein koach b'dainim. Just as that doramabul, they actually did a sin that wasn't be able to be rectified, in Beit Din. Afzu she'eino omed. So to someone who goes back on his word, because he's paid the money and says, actually, let's and that person who accepted the money says, actually, I don't want to go through the deal and wants his and hands the money back. Ein koach b'dainim l'kofo. Once again, there's no koach in the dain to do it. So in other words, the type of injustice that's being caused, let's call it that, is something that the Beit Din have no jurisdiction or ability to intervene, and that's the association. Just as Hashem paid back the Dor HaMabul, that it wasn't Bidei Adam to take control, and it was end up being handed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take control, so to you here, yes, our hands are tied, we can't do anything, but don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a way of dealing with people that we can't deal with. That's kind of the association. So I'll just close the door. Okay? That's association. Now, the Gemara says, then there's a Gzera Shava, Rabba, Rabba, Kamasa, Elu, Kach, Masa, Elu. So the Gzera Shava is associated with the Masa's storm. So if you again, Marfulda says, Kamasa, Elu, Shudora, Mabul, Kach, Masa, Storm. Vyesh Mafarshim, some explain the opposite. Lomar, Shagezel, Gamur, Hayab, Dora, Mabul, come over storm. So we are associated with this, like a sly type of, like robbery, like things are a lot less than a Shava report. What does it matter? What does he care? That's like the last one we talk about. However, it seems another way of explaining is no, they actually were proper thievery. Like, I probably assume that what the pshat was when you were not Russian Chumash. Okay, let's continue. Amarav Chenina, halachic Rabbi Shimon. So, Rabbi Shimon, velo amron lechol apin. I mean, yes, halach is like Rabbi Shimon that the mocher has ability to go back, but not in all situations. The only situation he can chozer on the deal is if he took the money, he can make the call to say, actually, I don't want to go through the deal and take the money back, change his mind. However, if the product is already in the hand of the lokeach, well, that situation, it's out of the hands of the mocher anymore, and he can't go back. So in other words, when yes, the control is in the hand of mocher, but we're not talking about absolute control. It's in the scenario we discussed already in our Mishnah. Okay, that's what it means. Lo kol apim, not in all circumstances. Okay. Rav Yirmiyah says, "B'shem Rav, Maisa Hayav Ahor Rebbe K'Rebbe Shimon." There was an incident where actually Rav Paskin and he taught, or Rebbe, sorry, Paskin like Rebbe Shimon. Now, with Chiya Bar Yosef, Yaiv Dina LeMilcha, he gave over money to purchase milch is like salt. Chazer Ba'ayi, the guy said, "You know what? Actually, presumably the price of salt went up, And he thought, 1 second, why should I give you? Now I can make a lot more money from this salt. So here's your money back. It was chozerbo. That's generally why a mocher would want to give the money back. Because, prices went up. There was suddenly a salt shortage. And he said, oh, 1 second, I make a lot of more money from this. Unfortunately, he said, this guy doesn't know that a magal is like a sickle, is already sticking in the leg of this individual. Why? Because he's a Misha Paramanche. So in other words, he didn't realize that that what he's doing is going to be harming him severely due to this mishapara. Let's continue. Tad Barnash, Yad Dinar Lemetaksa. He won paid money to purchase this very fine, expensive silk. Chazar Bey and the Mocher went back. Atul de Kamei Chia Bar Yosef v'Rav Yochanan. So the Maaseh came before the two different Rabbanim, Rav Yosef, Rechia Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan, to Paskin. Rav Chia Bar Yosef's Amar, he says, or you ten lo kedei arvuno, or give him his. Sorry, or give him kedei arvuno. Kedei arvuno means the money he gave was like almost like a partial amount. So give him in silk equivalent to the amount he's already handed over, or you'll get a mishapara. However, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Or you ten lo kol mikho. Even though he hasn't paid the full amount, the small amount he's paid is enough to if you like, close the deal. To the extent that he will receive a mishapara if he goes back on it. So that's effectively what the debate is. If he's given over a partial sum of money, exactly what form this partial sum of money was taking, we'll discuss in a moment. But what does it then, what's the mishapara going to be if the guy goes back? If he doesn't do what? If he doesn't give him the full amount? Or can he get away, can he just give him equivalent to the amount of money he already received? And there's no problem with going back on the rest of the deal, let's call it that. Okay, that's the debate. Rav Las says it was actually an eravon haya. In that situation, it wasn't actually a down. It wasn't a partial payment, the way I kind of explained it. It was an eravon. So to explain an eravon is like a security. And a security, the fact that if you go back on the deal, you lose the security. So that's not a down payment. That's a security. That's something different. Okay, and let me just explain here. I'll read you here the Ribbaz actually, because he explains it nicely. He says, Rashi. It wasn't like a partial payment, it was just a security that if you go back on the deal, then you're going to lose your security, that type of thing. Okay? In that situation, if he goes back, he loses his security. It's in that situation, Rabbi Chiya says, oh, that's when he's only connect connected the Eravon. If our world was like already a down payment, partial payment, look at Alma, everyone agrees that it's kone hakol. That's the way Rav La understands the debate we just learnt. It must be that it's the reason why there's a debate, it's only talking about it was Eravon, but if it was actual partial payments, who cares? It's already like giving over the money. Now Mishapara would apply to it if he doesn't go through with a full sale. Okay? Now Rav Zira Amar, actually no, it was Miktsat Damim Natan Lo. The debate is regarding that you gave him a partial payment, and still you have a debate. Okay, so the debate is regarding what the debate's about. Okay, now the Gemara says, however, Moda Reb Chiya Bar Yosef l'Reb Yochanan, in the case of this partial payment, if we're saying like Reb Zeira, I think, that Mekach She'en Dar Kol Liknot Nechatzim Kugon Paro V'Talit. If, however, it was a partial payment. Let's assume the debate was regarding a partial payment, but it's regarding something you can't take piecemeal. For example, you're buying a new suit and you pay it partially. It's not going to be like, oh, by the way, I'll now take this partial payment is only for the sleeves and a bit of the back of it. That's something that's not divisible, really. It's a single product. In that session, everyone agrees that the partial payment is really for the full thing. And if he doesn't go through this, if the seller says, oh, here's your money back. Then he wouldn't receive a mishapara if he doesn't go through with the full deal. Okay, fine. Everyone agrees. Now, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Rav Aval says b'shem Rav Yochanan, tabaat ein bo mishum meravon. What if he just gives a ring down? It's not a sum of money. He said in that situation, not a partial payment. Clearly, it's also not even a deposit, like a eravon, a security. All it is, according to the Mara Fulda, it says, it's just like I'm putting my name. It's like putting my name down. It's a zikaron ba'alma in terms of who's going to be buying it. So that's not even anything. And there's no kinyan at all. It's not considered partial payment at all. And if the guy wants to go back and say, here's your ring back, I found somebody else who took too long to come back to the store, there's no problem whatsoever. Okay? So in other words, we've talked about like sort of three levels. One is a paid in full, one is a partial payment. We've also talked about a security. There could be a difference between securities and things. And then there's other just a simen ba'alma. Like, I just put my business card down by this and put on reserve for me or something at the suit store. If he doesn't come back within a certain amount of time, then it's fine. It's not a partial payment. Gone. Okay. Let's continue. Okay. Kolen or seven or temper devarim, ain't muslim lo mishapara. So someone who just, there's no handing over of money here. They've just been discussing, I'll buy it from you. Sounds like a good deal. Let's do the deal, right? That type of thing. They discuss it, but there's no handing over money. There's nothing being done. In that situation, there's no mishapara. However, if you remember when we saw this sugya back in the Masechta Shvi'it, there's still an issue of Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Himena. Meaning, someone who's Chozer B'Diburo, still it's not a Mishapara like a proper curse. Chachamim are just, to translate it loosely, that there's that the Chachamim are pleased with someone who behaves in that way. Okay? So if he ended up going back on a deal. But there's no Mishapara, there's no legal binding, there's nothing. It's just Ein Ruach Chachamim. Oh, probably not nice to have an Ein Ruach Chachamim, but it's let's call it lighter than a Mishapara. Okay, now Rabbi Yaakov bar Zabdi says, Rabbal says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Amar li ten matana lechavero. If someone says, didn't give you a gift, u'bikesh lachzor, but he wants to go back on a chozer, he can go back. Now, back in Masechta Shvi'it, at this point, the Gemara asks, one second, v'hen lav tzedek, in other words, hen lav tzedek, v'hen tzedek, I think that's what the Tei Moshe has a girsa. I might just show you actually in the Shina Girsah. Here, that's what it is. Kamrav Yosef Imrav Yaakov. That's the Girsah Zabdi. Amar Lei, Hen Lav Tzedek, Vehen Tzedek. Meaning, you've got an issue of that your yeses have to be straight and your noes have to be straight. So, yes, there's no Mishapara, but someone who's just lying. Like you said, you want to give someone a present. You can't go back on it. You said you wanted to give him a present. Like, it's not that you can't go back on it. It's just that what you were saying when you want to give him a present, you were lying. It's like, kids who's in the playground, if you go do this, I'll give you a lolly. Had no intention of giving him a lolly. Right? Kids do this and then, but he just wanted to do something. That's your hen is not tzedek. Hen shechat tzedek and lav shechat not tzedek. What you're doing is you're misleading the person. So the Gemara now says, no, it depends. The issue of hen tzedek and lav tzedek is if when you're saying the thing you're saying, you were misleading, you were lying, basically. Like we're trying to, when children in the playground says, oh, go do this and I'll give you a lolly, had no intention ever of giving him a lolly. Okay? Or a sweet or whatever candy, I don't know whatever nationality you're from. But anyway, the point is, so Amar, however, in this situation, when it says you can chozer from off saying I want to give a person matana, that's fine because ama b'shach ama tenlo b'dak gemura. Mibatar ken in chazar bay. Well, then chazar bay. The case we're talking about here is if the person wholeheartedly wanted to give the person a gift. So at the time, was his hen tzedek? Absolutely. It was absolute tzedek. What happened is circumstances changed. Whatever it was, he himself ended up being short of funds. He wasn't able to give the present anymore, or his whatever, well, as the circumstances situation, the intention to give the present is not legally binding. So therefore it's not a problem. You can be chozer of that. There's no legal binding to say I want to give someone a present. Okay?
So it depends on a person's intent in their not being Mekayim, their promise.
Yeah, but the point is, hen tzedek v'lav tzedek, that the whole thing of being straight is you when you say I want to give you a present, were you being genuine? Yes. If you're being genuine, from that point onwards, that issue is taken care of. Now, after the fact, by saying I want to give someone a present, I'm allowed to be chozerbo. Sure, you can be chozerbo. There's nothing legally binding about that.
Even though it's not tzedek, I changed my mind.
Presume well that the tzedek and lav tzedek is your hen, your yes, and your lav, and your no. Meaning that is what the words coming out of our mouth, are they authentic? So when he was saying it was authentic, yes.
Yes,
Okay.
but when and we didn't carry through.
When it didn't carry through, but he's not legally bound to carry through, so I don't think it's an issue then. That's what it seems the Gemara seems to be saying.
So that's still another if that's tzedek. If I've promised and then you've disappointed me and I change my mind,
Yeah.
That's legitimate.
That's legitimate, it sounds like. Shall I just show you this? I'll do it in the Mara full day. It says, Bashasha Marlo in Khazar Bechazar. We need hen sedek, the Pizer and sedek. Umashni, says, he says, Bashasha Marzarich Lomar, Ledapura, Veloya. You can't have something in your heart and something in your mouth. There can't be a disconnect there. However, imachar kach ba machmat eiz dovar, some other reason, circumstance comes out, nishtaner hashar, for example, this thing that you had, it could be the guy had, it looks like a rusty old, you said, find these things the whole time. There's like a rusty old painting in the garage. I said, oh, I've got all these paintings, I'll give it to you. And he finds out, my gosh, this is something, this is a priceless piece. No, I actually like to keep it now. That's a different situation. He's allowed a chozerbo. I actually sorry, I've got an uncle actually, father's like father's stepbrother, he should be well, that went to a garage sale and he identified some expensive painting there that was just being like almost, I think, even discarded on the street at the time or something. I don't know, it wasn't like a masterpiece, but it was worth more than being thrown on the street. Anyway, okay. I don't know why I said that story, but yeah, it relates somehow. Okay, let's continue. Fine. Now, how did the team up? Now, you have to be careful here, because this whole thing of saying I want to give you a present and there's nothing legally binding to make you follow through with that depends. How did the team up? Now, the Girsa Nusach change we're doing is as follows. That's Ba'ashir, if you're going to give a gift to a wealthy person. Okay? However, Aval Ba'ani, if there's a poor person and you're saying I'm going to gift you something, that's already like a neder to give tzedakah. And that situation has din aseh like a neder. By saying I want to give you a gift to, and you're giving it to an ani, you're bound by that like a neder. And if you don't go through with that, that's a big problem. So you can't be chozava. As it says, look at the story. We also did this in Shvi'a a while back. It says, Rav Mafke Lashamshe, he told his attendants, if I tell you, give something, give a gift or give whatever it is to such and such a person. In have a misken, if he is poor, have lemi yad, you're going to give it to him immediately. Because it has the force of a neder. Being atir, if this guy's wealthy, well, imlach bi tanono, just double check with me before you go through with it. Okay? That's the, in other words, one has a force of a neder and one is just a nice intention, and if things change, things can change. Okay. Rav Yochanan yav dinar lekreve al mashach. He gave money to a relative of his for wine. Yakar mashach, the value of it's not mashach, it's oil, sorry. Yakar mashach, the value of oil went up. Ata shal Rabbi Yanai. And the question was, since he gave him money for oil, and now the oil is going to be paid back to him, but he's going to be getting a more oil, like value, than he paid in the intervening period. The question is, if ma'ot and koneh, giving of the money is effectively what? It could be like a loan. Because the sale isn't finished until it's been handed to him. So he's now effectively, once it's handed to him, getting more back, and it's would it be considered interest? So he said, actually, Amar Leino Midvar Torah Ma'ot Konin. Really, Midoraita, handing over money is Koneh. Till now we've been saying, oh no, Mashiach is Koneh. Money is not only Mishapar. He says, no, you got it wrong. Really, Midvar Torah is Ma'ot is Koneh. V'lama Amru Ein Konim. And why do they say, Chazal say it doesn't work? Because the concern was, I'm sure you're familiar with this, someone will pay money to a supplier. Now, when it once, and if it belongs to the purchaser and the purchaser hasn't picked it up yet, people pay for furniture and it takes 3 weeks, whatever, to come to the factory, blah, blah, blah. There might be a fire at the where it's like you're purchasing the wheat that the supplier is buying it from. And there won't be in the interest at all of the seller to look after this wheat. He'll save his own stuff, but there's no interest in, he doesn't have to risk, there's no incentive to look after it, doesn't belong to him. And the concern is that I said, oh, sorry, your wheat got just burnt in the fire. Okay? So therefore, they said, look, therefore, it shouldn't close until the product has been handed over, midibrei chazal. Okay? So Rav Shmuel bar Sustra, Sustra, Sotaya, sorry. B'shem about Rabbi Vowell says, Im amar lo nisrafu chatechalani, yeah, Neman. And if the seller says it was burnt, sorry, it was burnt in the attic, Neman is trusted. Gemara says, one second, Rav Yitzhak Makshei Manan, kind we're talking about Im Bishakanu lo Ma'otav. If you talk about the fact that his money does purchase a Ma'otav, then well, Shalom Yisrof. Then that the purchase stuff is burnt in the attic, then how does the well Ma'ulo Taka Chachamim Taknatam? The whole point of saying that the money doesn't purchase is to protect us from this eventuation. Vim lo kanu, if it doesn't acquire, why are you saying that the mocher saying your wheat burnt is believed? It's his own wheat that's burnt. So that, it doesn't really make sense. We don't understand what this statement means by saying the seller says your wheat burnt in the other, because the circumstances, it has no ramification. Okay, now Gemara says, Rav Simon said, Rav Shaya ben Levi, Bar nashti yayin lechavre asa dinarim. So a person gives his friend 10 dinarim. Amalei itlach gabam mea. Now, here's an interesting thing. What exactly the sugya is talking about is the matter of debate. So we're going to explain this first, like the Brit Baz. That's kind of, I think, how the arts will mostly explain it, which is like the Bala Itur, and then I want to show like the Pnei Moshe, which is similar to the Maharful Day. It's all very different, very complicated to understand what's going on here. But what it sounds like here is a person gives a person 10 dinarim, he says, Ili gabach, and I've got by you mea garbin. Garbin is barrels instead of dinarim. Bahanim beta. Now, if it's in his house, shari. If it's in his kerem, then it's asur. Ma ben kerem labayit, bayit einu matzui lipol, kerem matzui lipol. In a bayit, it's a safe location. In a kerem, in a vineyard, it's not a safe location. So what's the din here? This relates to a much broader debate. Is if it's a circumstance where there's no concern of nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah, do we say that maot akonot? So what the chiddush is here is if the barrels were in the house where it's a secure location and there's no concern the house is going to collapse or there's a fire or anything like that, pardon me, then maot akonot, it would acquire. What a chiddush. In other words, it's not a cross-the-board thing, the maot akonot, because of this gzeir shema yisrael aliyah. However, if it's only if it's in a situation like an aliyah, like in this attic, which is not so secure, or a kerem that's oily pol or lisrof is another explanation, is susceptible for fires and things like that. That's when we say, oh no, maot eno kono. So again, so Amar ach mamina bar nashdi ablechavrei ased dinarim. If you pay dinarim, Amar lei b'manat to tikum li b'hadim mea garbin, on the condition you give me 100 barrels. Mikem shalach yoda. Once he is shalach yado, he's taken it. Tzarich la'amid lo mikcho. Now, the simple understanding is, once again, we're talking about a situation that it's in a location that it's going to be a secure location. Let's put it that way. That's a simple way of maybe explaining it. However, I want to show you the Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe here, when it says, we'll go over the sugya again. So from the top of the sugya, it says, Reb Simon b'shem Reb Yeshua ben Levi, bar nashdi ablechavrei asa dinarim, you paid him 10 dinarim. Amalei itli gabach mea Dinarim bahade beit shari, bahade karma asu. What are you talking about? So he says, "Kugon she skir beito ladubo." He's rented a house. Now, by the way, the Barfield explains a whole different arrangement that he's rented from him, and the house to Mashkon. And we're talking, it, both of them deal with issues of potential ribbit. We'll get to this in a second. That's a Ben Moshe. He rented a house for him to live in it. But what he did, the maskir, the person renting, like renting it out to the renter, gave him some money, extra money, to put into the capital of the house. The condition was true, that he was going to increase the rental as a result, that it's going to end up increasing the rent over that time, much more than the capital, that financial injection you just gave him. Okay, now you might think, one second, the fact I've increased the rental to amount now that's going to be returning to the owner more, just in the increase, that he's just, if you like, lent or put gave the renter to put into the house. You might think, isn't that ribbit? We say shari, not a problem. Since it goes to the body of the house, the mafikli, then the tosefet, the increase in the rent, is not considered ribbit. Love b'shvil schar, mot havi umutar. However, if it's in a kerem, Since the keren, a vineyard itself, is susceptible to burning or collapsing and things like that, then we're concerned that that money is not necessarily going into the principal itself, and it's considered like money borrowed for, like investment, whatever it is. And what he's paying back is is increased for that money he's receiving, and that's considered ribbit. That's kind of that's how he explains it. Difference altogether. And then it says, I'll just skip a bit. What's the achma? The when it says tzarich l'amim so achma mina barnash. We'll just drop down. Bidin ribbit shezachar. From what we learn from the ribbit kan shamanu gam ken dinya. We can also learn by kinyan amekach. Meaning, if someone says, Banat, if he says, this is Banat to take umli bahadim mea garbin, Almanat shafili mea garbin, yayin, bekiotzebo. For example, he says, I want to give you the money in the condition you will supply me 100 barrels of wine. Here, it's, everyone's talking about garbin. Mekem shalach ba'adomawad. Once a guy takes the money, then Tzrichi has got to go through it. Now, listen, ve'ein yachol lachzorbo. Meaning, normally, when there's a normal mekach or memkar thing, if I do mishicha on the, we say that if I paid money for the item, it's not koneh, because there's a concern of nisru chatecha ba'aliyah, until I do mishicha on the product and I take it to myself. However, what if it's a business arrangement? Meaning, I'm paying you money now that you'll supply me some wine over a period of time, barrels of wine. We don't say the deal isn't closed until you take the barrels. No, once you hand him the money, the guy takes the money, the deal's closed. This is a business arrangement. Says, "V'lo shaych lomar kan ma'ot enu konot, de lo amru ela al eizes chorau metaltli." We're talking about that whole ma'ot enu konot is only for a straight business transaction. Ukanav yashem achado, sheshayach ba kniyah acheret, ve'ein ma'ot konot lo ad shim shoch, aval b'ma'ot shenatan lo almanat leharviach. If it's a business arrangement, I'm giving you money now. You're going to supply me wine over a period. That's a sort of a business arrangement coming in together. As soon as he basically takes the money, that's my handshake on the deal is going through, we're going to continue. So in other words, what the distinction we're bringing now, according to the Pnei Moshe, I thought it was an interesting one at the end, is when do we set ma'at ena konot? That's for a simple sale. However, a business transaction, a business deal that we're doing, well, that's a different situation. Handing over the money is the beginning of the deal. Meaning, we're not talking about a sale, we're talking about a deal. You're going to supply me money, here's a payment, now you have to go through with it. Okay, that's a whole different kettle of fish, if you like. And somehow I was learning from the case before it was got to do with ribbit. Okay, listen, like those are two very, very, very different ways of looking at the sugya, the show with Pnei Moshe and the Ribaz. Marfold is closer to Pnei Moshe, this discussing ribbit, but whatever, that'll speak for another time. All right, Kol Tov.